Moray v'Raboisai, lessons from the lathe. It's great to be back. I apologize for my travels as it takes me around the world. But Amir Hashem, we're back and better than ever. Parshas Toldos, this week, a topic that is of the utmost importance and I must admit difficult for me to get over in such a short span of time. Why should I daven? This is the age-old topic which applies to every human being, I hope. And why should I daven? So first of all, I want to start off with a little prerequisite. Number one, I'm no expert. I'm working on my tefillah. It's very difficult. So I'm not complaining. I'm not saying that I'm an expert in any way, shape, or form. And this helped me, talking to myself, so maybe this will help you. And number two, I want to just do one notion, take it out of your genre. I know it's going to be difficult to change your mind about this ever, but the word prayer that we use, right, to pray, is actually a Latin word that comes from begging, to beg. Tefillah has nothing to do with begging. Okay, if anybody thinks that when we daven to Hashem, we're begging God for something, you know, like the Yom Kippur, you know, that's not true. Anybody who saw my sign outside, right, it had a picture of one of the great Gedolim, and he was sitting by his bed, you know, with the hands together. That's not our religion. We don't believe in that. Okay, that's not part of it. Although I have a chiddush that maybe it does mean that. Now the word daven is a Yiddish word. I don't know Yiddish, but I've been told it comes from the word to move one's lips. But then I saw an interesting idea written, quoted in the name of some Hasidish master, and that says maybe it comes from the Lashon in Aramaic, da'avuha. Davening comes da'avuha from the avos, from the father. Maybe, very cute idea. But let's get to the crux of it. The reason why I wanted to discuss this is from this week's parsha. The parsha tells us right in the beginning of the parsha, "Ve'yatar Yitzchak la'ashlem l'noach ishto ki akarahi." So the Rabbeinu Bechaya picks up right away on an anomaly. The anomaly is it says that Yitzchak entrenched himself, "Ve'yatar," whatever that means, "la'ashlem l'noach ishto akarahi." Why doesn't it say she was barren and he davened? He was sick, we daven for that, right? And this is the way a lot of us think about tefillah. We think that someone is sick, Rachman al-Islam, okay? Grandma's not feeling well. So what do? You're in yeshiva for the year. So you go to Rabboaz and you say, Rabboaz, can you please say Tehillim after davening? And Rabboaz says to you, okay, but you know, it would be good if you actually showed up. Fine, so you show up. And it didn't work. It's crazy. What happened? That's weird. She says, I got to do something else. This is not good enough. So you go to another yeshiva. No. So you go to the kotel. So you try all these things. You bring more people, and that's going to change everything. Says the Rabbeinu Bechaya the following. Hakosav hi, roi lahakdim ulomar, v'tirifka akarav achakach, bayatar yitzchak lasha. She had an illness, right? I wish I had time to go into this amazing sugya of why the avos, the Gemara tells us, Mesava Kodesh Baruch Hu Tefilosim Shel Tzadikim, that's why all the Yemos were Akara, but maybe that's not true. Maybe it's also that they were, how do you know it was Yitzchak? Wasn't Yitzchak who was the one who was barren? Maybe the wife could have children? Okay, the Raya from Avram had a child. V'chulu. A lot of Torah here, but we don't have time for it. Hakosav hi roi lahaktim. Why does it say like this? V'yatar Yitzchak la'ashem ki yakarahi. Uma shehiktim tefilas itkaven lomar. So why did it say it first? Lahakdim ha'ikar. What's the ikar? The tefillah. Ulamdanu she'in ha'kavana she'itiyah akara savla tefillah. It doesn't work like that. Perfect segue to quote one of my favorite vorts from Rav Simi Sherman. Hashem should send him refuah shleima. Rav Simi Sherman said, we think tefillah is like a vending machine. I've probably used this before because I think it's so beautiful. You put the money in the machine and the Doritos comes out. That's tefillah. I ask this thing, if it doesn't happen, then why am I going to daven again? What's the point? God never listened to me. So I say tefillah is like my vending machine. You put 5 shekel in, maybe the Doritos will come out, maybe it won't come out, you shake the machine, it still doesn't come out, you go to Rav Hartzin and ask for the 5 shekel, maybe he's going to give it to you, maybe he's not, maybe he'll, you know, if you're a serious guy, I'll give you my usual line, I'll be like, well, that's your fault, it's not my fault. What do you mean, Rav Hartzin? You get all upset at me. Go, it's part of your tuition, whatever. Okay, Hadar Asala says tefillah. She'im Kane. Hasiba har ikat tefillah tafilu. Avala kavana loshu rakosav ki at tefillah sibata akara. ulomar kach shelo nit akra ela kedeshi palal b'neiim al dover lefira hekti matfilasa. It's not for you to think that tefillah only comes and you wake up in the morning and say, oh, God, the sun is shining, everything's great, shkoyach, I don't need to daven. And where Boaz comes to you and he says, why don't you come to tefillah this morning? You say, I have nothing to daven for. Everything's going great for me. My Doritos came out yesterday. Everything's peachy keen. Says the Rabbeinu Bechai, that's not what tefillah is. But Zer Dorshu Rabba Seinu. He says, he quotes it in the Bereishis Rabba. Why would they nitkaru hayimod mipnei shakalish bracham esahavat tefillah tzadikim? What does this mean? God loves the tefillah tzadikim. So does it mean what we think it means? That the tzaddik davens yishkoyach, and then God says, I can't. It was too much. I didn't realize this information now, and now I know. So we change God's mind. Kiviyachol, Rachman olzlan. Rakan yesh lomad al koach hatefilah shegedol lemiod v'tefilah shonas hateva. It can change things that were in nature, if you will, that were supposed to happen this way. Obviously, God realized it, but it was changed because of your tefillah. And this is what it means. V'tamiz a hiskir loshem v'yatar v'lo hiskir v'yitpalel or v'yitzak v'shal l'shonos. Ki loshon atar evinu zal she'amru b'perakama de sukkah. So he quotes a Gemara in Sukkah. It's amazing. This is a great most of the Rav Kook. They quote every single source, and they quote the Gemara in Sukkah. So, oh great, where's the Gemara in Sukkah? I looked at the thing, no source. So when you don't know a Gemara in Sukkah, what do you do? No. I still can't find an article. I got to look to go to the Hora article. You ask Rav Shammai. So he asked Rav Shammai, and Rav Shammai did something really beautiful. I'm sorry, I don't mean to embarrass him. I apologize. He said to me, I told him, I said, there's a Rabbeinu Bechai. I didn't even have to say anything. I was just talking, all I had to say is Rabbeinu Bechai, and he was like, Daf Yudal Sukkah. But he said to me, oh, I think it's Daf Yudal. Maybe it's Tesvav. That's just to get me off the track. Like, it was obviously Yudal. He has a great, besides having an amazing memory, it's also partly because of the yeshiva that he went to. So my son's actually in that yeshiva. When the Mitzvah Yericho teaches you Kol HaShaskulos, I told my son the story. And my son's actually learning Sukkah. So I said to him, you should know what Daf is on. You know, Rav Shammai knows. He's like, who's Rav Shammai? Okay, fine. So, I don't normally read from an article Gemara, but here I think the article got it perfectly, because this Gemara is very, very difficult. So I'm going to read it. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. U're'isu l'havchem la'atar. Hoyel yivchu. So he quotes his Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Yadalin. Why did the Ribbono Sholem, though we're going to get to the point in a second. Why did Ribbono Shalom, why did it come through Vayatar? What does that mean? Lahafon ba'atar. Atar is like that pitchfork. You guys know what a pitchfork is, right? You put the hay in it and you turn it around. That's what atar means. Since it's suitable to turn over the grain like a pitchfork. I'm a Rabbi Elezer. Lama nimshalu tfilasam shal tzadikim la'aka atar. Why is it like a pitchfork? Lomar? To tell us, ma atar zeh mahafech es tuvasa begarim emakom, just like the pitchfork turns the tefuah around in the threshing floor and tosses it to another side, af tefilosam shel tzadikim mahafech es datos shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It changes God's mind? Is that what it means? That's not what it says. He says it beautifully. I have to give article credit. It turns the attitude of Hashem. Mimidas achzoris mimidas rachmanas. So this is also a great question. What does that mean? It changes his attitude. For Ribbono Shel Olam, it's difficult. Changes his attribute to mercy, right? Is that really what we believe? Do we believe that Hashem really works in a way of midas hadin all the time? Created the world, bereshis bara Elokim, midas hadin, which is what we're learning today with one of the bachurim in yeshiva. Rav Dessler says this. Rav Dessler actually quotes. It wasn't fair. Why is Esav was destined to bad things? Even when he was in the womb, he was destined to bad things. He says, that's not true. It wasn't destined. He could have been a good person. He had to get out of his funk. Sometimes we wake up in the morning and we think, it's not fair. Look at so-and-so in the base medrash, especially if you're looking at a Shana Bet guy. It's not fair. Look at him. He looks like he's connected to davening. God gave me a bad portion, and I don't like to get up in the morning. It's not my fault. It's God's fault. No, Esav could have been a tzaddik. You got to work through it. He says beautifully that everybody's chelik olam haba is different. Your chelik is different because, you know, it's very interesting. The Gemara tells us that even Even a bigger tzaddik can be omer. What does that mean? How do you say that? A guy's been firm for 10 minutes, he's more bigger than a tzaddik. Yeah, you know why? Because he did something that you didn't do. I didn't have the time for that. This guy's chalishing because he just ate fleishig. He just had chillin. He says, oh my God, I can't believe I ate chillin. Now I can't have Ben and Jerry's tonight. And I'm thinking like, who cares? I could wait, 6 hours. And the guy's mamish is a taiva for him. He's going crazy over it. He was able to accomplish that taiva. The tzaddik's like, I don't even understand what you're talking about. But it's the same thing over here. So now listen to where I'm going to throw your mind and go crazy and just... And then I'm going to drop the mic. Like this. The word for tefillah is lehit palel. Lehit palel is called the reflexive. Right? We're not in, don't worry, we're not in, how do you say, olpan class? So we're not going to do Hebrew all the thing. But, vayetar, and trust me, I don't know anything, but is the reflexive. Means, like kilu vayit palel, vayit labish, to close, for you. So it's doing something to you, this thing called tefillah. So what's the root of tefillah? Is, lehit palel is palal, which Lashon, the Tanakh already tells us, Torah tells us, is to judge yourself, to look at myself, to analyze myself. And this changes everything. It's obvious that Hashem doesn't need our tefillah. Pesukei Dezimra is not about buttering up the Ribono Shel Olam. It's not about that. Okay? It's about judging ourselves. It's about realizing, as beautifully said, Matisyahu Solomon quotes this in the name of, he said, the Chinuch says this already, Chovos HaLevavos says this. It's recognizing the basic fact of Ein Olam Milvado. Do I really realize that God's in this world? Do I really think that He controls everything? Excuse me for saying this. I'm talking to myself now. No. Obviously not all the time. Because if you really realize that God controlled the world, so instead of there being Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of guys here, every guy in the yeshiva would be here. Every guy would have got the message and said, my tefillah stinks. Let me at least give the Hartstein a chance. He's a bozo, but okay. That's the only guy that's speaking tonight. Well, I'll give him a chance. And then I'll go to the stock market club. But let me give him a chance. I get him a drink of water normally. So, we do that. We're judging ourselves. And maybe we're actually begging ourselves to take it seriously. Maybe prayer is correct. We're not begging God for something. We're begging ourselves, come on, wake up, come on, take this seriously. Grandma's sick. Yes, it is davening, davuan, maybe we could say. It comes from the avos. They establish it because, as Rav Shimon Pinchas says beautifully, that it's avet, tefilas, and shel tzadikim. Hashem loves it so much. Why? Because tefilas avos anything that happened was because the Avos davening. They're davening all the time for things. That changes everything. Why did Avram Avinu daven so much, Rav Pinchas says? Stone was going to be destroyed. He's still davening. He's destroying the stone. He's still davening. Moshe Rabbeinu, davening. Beit Hanan. 552. What are you doing? Why do you keep davening? It's done. You're not getting into Eretz Yisrael, dude. Excuse me. You're not getting into Eretz Yisrael, tzaddik. Rav Moshe, no. Because he's making himself into a better person. He's judging himself. I still have to do this for myself. It's not about cause and effect. This is what it's going to be. I don't know what my tefillah is going to be, where it's for, what it's good. I had the schuss of listening to Racheli Frankel speak a number of times. And I think in every speech I've heard her so far, she's mentioned the story. Racheli Frankel, of course, from the three boys that were kidnapped and murdered. So, interesting, because Naftali comes from Lashon Tefillah. She tells the story that when she went to the Kotel, I remember that amazing evening, maybe more than 100,000 people at the Kotel davening for the three boys. And she was leaving, and she tells that a group of kids from yeshiva, cheder, were walking out. And they were so excited to be part of Klal Yisrael, the tefillahs, and you see how happy they were. And she stopped them, and she said, she looked at them, and she says, sometimes Hashem says no. Hashem always answers, but it's not always the answer that you want. I always give the example, it's a very crass example, I apologize. A guy's going out Thursday night, obviously not in yeshivas, nobody goes out here Thursday night, unless it's Thanksgiving, and the person's going out, and he's going out to town. So for some reason, all of a sudden, he's up the whole day, he took a shower, he's shaved, he's got that, he looks like a great bacher now. And he davens mincha, because he's about to go out now after mincha, and he davens Hashem, and he asks him for, obviously, what? What does he ask for? That his girlfriend should, whatever, with him. Something that's an issur d'oraisa, maybe. So obviously the Rabbanu Shalom is not going to answer your tefillah. I mean, were you nuts? I mean, if you think he answered your tefillah, that's not answering tefillahs. Hashem does what's right for you, but you're not davening to ask for something, so it's not causing, it's to make you better. Lehit paleo. I'm doing something to myself, I'm making myself a better person, I'm begging myself to take this seriously. Well, what's a practical, give me something practical, Rav Arnstein. Give me something practical. So, okay, shkoyach, great, it's for me, what does that mean? So I'm going to give you, mamish, only two practical things that have helped me, only me, I don't know if they'll help you. And I've said it, I know many times, I'm sorry for the listening audience, I've heard this a million times. You want to feel it to mean something to you. So number one, this is not the two things, but just to reiterate what we're saying. It's about me. It's about me judging myself. What is my relationship with God? Do I actually recognize Eimam Levado? Do I really recognize that he's part of my life? And that he's part of everything? And he's doing what's good for me. And I don't have, I wasn't given a bad chelek. I just have to work on who I am and what I am. So here's the two practical examples. There's really one, but it comes to two. Anybody in the room, this is going on Yud Torah, Mitzvah Hashem, so you can't deny that I ever said this. Anybody in the room who doesn't daven, who doesn't pray, maybe, but who doesn't, mitpalel, with a sitter that has English, and is not a native Israeli. Number one, you've done something wrong right there. And ready for this? This is really crazy. If you are that person, and you are misava, you are inspired, and you say, you know what, you're right. And my bar mitzvah, somebody gave me a Hebrew sitter. I'm sorry. It's not good for me. I want to daven in English. But what am I going to spend money? I'm going to go here over here to this magic Micah and buy for 100 shekel an English sitter. You got to be crazy. 100 shekel, you know how many kofiks I can buy for that? I will buy you a sitter. I will buy you a sitter. Come to my office. I will give you an art school sitter for free. Not for you. But I'm saying for Brett. No. I will buy you a sitter. Okay, my parents don't go crazy. It's not coming out of my money. I have students who will sponsor a sitter for you. Okay? There's no catch here. You don't have to come to me, say, I want a sitter, I'll give you a free sitter. No catches, no nothing. I'm not going to call you in a year from now saying, so new? Let me hear the sitter, let me hear if the binding's cracked. I don't care. Number two, this is really strange. It just has helped me. It's just something I just started this year. I started to do something a little crazy with my sitter. You'll notice, that's how you know if I'm tired or not, because I don't do it. When I daven Shemona Esrei, I lift my sitter up to my face. I have a shtender. You have even worse than a shtender. You have the desk. And most of us put our siddurim like this. And we're davening like this. You don't know what's going on. You just go, I don't know. And I recognize I'm like leaning on it. But when I bring it up to myself, when I bring it up, when I look at it, I have a lot more kavanah. Once you have that English sitter, and once you bring it up to you, then you can start number three, which is the most practical example, which I only said there was two, but I'm a rabbi, so that's what we do. And that is, don't look at my sitter, please. Circle things. Underline things. My sitter looks crazy. It's old, and it's ragged. It has notes in it. I learned what atachonin really means. I wrote next to it. I write something that's important to me about atachonin. Before I start my tefillah, I have the words ein od milavado when I start tefillah Shemona Esrei. Do I recognize it? I put a little heart next to it, and I recognize the fact that Hashem loves me. Right? It was this chapter in Rav Dessler we're reading today. He says that. He says, do you recognize that God loves you? How do you start tefillah without recognizing that? Pesukim in Zimra is not about buttering up the Rabbanu Shalom. It's about getting you ready to be judged yourself. Do I believe this? Hashemayim misapim kivoydel. Do I believe that? Do I believe lo asachin lo goyim mishpatim ba'idom? Do I believe it? That's the idea. And recognizing that tefillah is about us, it changes us to what our who we are and what we are. Then davening becomes such a different thing. It's not just about moving your lips. It's not just about begging for, you know, your survival. It's about you and who you are. And I hope, in Ritz Hashem, maybe one person, two people, this helped to concentrate more on Ve'atar, what it means to daven. It's not only davening when something's wrong. It's davening when things are good. And with that, hopefully we'll be zeicher to having more kavanah in tefillah.